The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
And now, Sports Talk 1240.
Good evening. Welcome to Sports Talk 1240 on this Sunday evening, August 9th, 2015. My name is Ray Moore. Today is going solo today, and we're going to have an NFL season preview featuring two guest writers, actually, Gary Davenport from Bleacher Report NFL Analysis, and Bart Hubbage from New York Post NFL Columnist. And, you know, since the NFL season has begun, what better way to start than to talk about preseason that's right now happening, Pittsburgh and the Vikings. Now, I don't know the score right now, but football season is starting. Football season has started, and 6 months until the Super Bowl, every Sunday we'll have football. And also, coming in here, Gary should be in a couple of minutes from now. But let's talk about a little bit about the Jets and Giants just a little bit, because, you know, there's been a lot of talk about these two New York teams. And both of these teams, they've been going to some difficult situations. Well, let's start off with a little bit of the Jets, because yesterday's scrimmage game, there was a lot of boos for Geno Smith. And those boos really didn't help, because you got to understand that this is a quarterback that's going to be a starting quarterback for the next few games, maybe all throughout the whole season. Fitzpatrick's still coming from an injury, and you have Bryce Petty, who just came into the team. He's a raw quarterback, so it's going to be a lot of controversy with starting Fitzpatrick or maybe having Bryce Petty on. But Geno Smith is the quarterback right now, and it certainly is important because the guy physically has all the tools to be a starting quarterback in this league. I'm not saying he could be a starter. I'm not saying he could be a franchise. I mean, even a elite quarterback. But we got Gary Davenport here, NFL Analysis of Bleacher Report. Gary, it's Raymond here. How are you doing today?
Oh, doing well, sir. Thanks for having me.
All right. So, you know, I read a report from a Bleacher Report, actually an update on you on Thursday. And one of them got me interested was one about Chris Ivory being pretty much a playmaker on the team for the Jets during practice. So how is that going on exactly with the running back situation with the Jets?
You know, it seems that he's really impressed Todd Bowles with his toughness and his ability to break tackles. I know that they ran a goal line drill a few days ago. I think it was Thursday, where he broke several tackles, scored a couple touchdowns for the team, and it just seems like he's kind of taken control of a very crowded Jets backfield situation. You've got Steven Ridley laid up. No one knows when he's going to be able to play. Zach Stacy, it seems like he's picking up a little bit of steam. And right now, it looks like it's Ivory's job to lose.
It looks like it is. I mean, Ivory has produced a lot of yards since he became into the Jets, so we'll see what happens from there. So, you know, talk about the Jets here on the side before we get to the Giants. What do we know so far in training camp, and what do we expect from them in the preseason? Because you got Smith, who got booed yesterday in the scrimmage game. Apparently, he hasn't done an interception yet, but he's had fumbled the ball. Do we expect this to be a new Smith, or is this going to be the same old Smith?
Yeah, I know he struggled a little bit in the green-white scrimmage, but it seems like he's improved so far in camp. Now, granted, it's just training camp. It's only practice.
Yeah.
And maybe we need to see a little live game action in the preseason to get a feeling. But I mean, the Jets really don't have anything to lose at this point by seeing what they have in Smith. You know what Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to do. I think he's shown what he's capable of in several different NFL teams. So, I mean, they spent a second-round pick on Geno Smith. Obviously, the leash isn't getting any longer for the kid, so if he struggles early in the season, it wouldn't surprise me to see a quick hook. But so long as he can continue to impress in training camp, like it or not, Jets fans, Geno Smith's going to be your starting quarterback.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you got to root for this guy, even though nobody wants him to be a quarterback because of what he's done over the 2 years, but he's a quarterback. So what do you expect from the Jets offensively this year?
You know, I think it's going to be pretty similar to what you saw under Rex Ryan. The Jets need to go with the personnel they have, and obviously the big question mark for them on offense is at the quarterback position. Yes, they have upgraded their wide receivers. I mean, having Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker, that's certainly the best weapons that Smith has had at his disposal to this point in his career. But the Jets are going to be right up there at or above 500 rushes again this year. They're going to be one of the more run-heavy teams in the NFL. And that's where that depth in the backfield with Ivory and Stacy and Ridley, once he comes back, is going to come in handy. The Jets are going to win games running the ball and playing defense.
How effective will be Brandon Marshall be on the field now that he's probably the number one receiver, but then you have Decker on the side, and you have Curley, and you also have Amaro, who we don't know who he's going to be this year, if he could be a big X factor. So how's that going to help Smith out?
You know, it sounds like Marshall isn't feeling any ill effects from all the injuries that plagued him last year. Effectively, he's going to be as good as his quarterback. So a lot of how much damage Brandon Marshall is going to be able to do with the New York Jets is going to involve, whether it's Geno Smith or Ryan Fitzpatrick, that quarterback, you know, putting the ball where Marshall can go up and make a play.
All right, that's something good to know. Well, what about not the defensive side? Because now you have Revis and you have Kamari back, and you just lost Sean Richardson and Miller, but how good can this defense be?
You know, obviously it hurts to lose a player of the caliber of Sheldon Richardson, who knows after the latest arrest when we're going to see him on the field again. But they do have Leonard Williams that he drafted sixth overall, which that pick now looks that much better for the team. You look at what Todd Bowles was able to do last year with the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah.
Keep together a top five, top six defense with nowhere near the talent that the New York Jets have right now. I expect the Jets to be a very good team defensively in 2015.
Would you say they'll be the number one defense in the league? Or even you say that on paper, but basically through the season, you think they could be at least in the top five?
It's a possibility. I could see top five.
How effective would it be with now, you know, you got Revis there, and Bowles is that type of player to be blitzing, because last year he's been pretty much the coach that blitzes the most on defense. So you think with this personnel, he's going to be more better than he had with the Cardinals?
Well, I mean, if Bowles wants to get aggressive with the blitz, he certainly would seem to have the pieces in the secondary where you can play some man coverage and you can send the extra rusher. A lot of it's going to depend on whether Quentin Copel's, you know, is this going to be the year that he finally steps up and plays like the Jets thought he would when they drafted him. You know, you've got Calvin Pace isn't getting any younger on that other side. A lot of it's going to depend. The Jets have a great front three, might be the best three-man front in the NFL, but they need those outside linebackers to generate more consistent pressure than they have in the past.
So who do you think is going to be the X factor for the team this year?
You know, I got to go with Geno Smith. They're going to go as far as their quarterback takes them.
Do you believe Smith could have a breakout year, though? Do you think this is the year? Even though it's been pretty much he's been good in practice, but then the mindset's a little bit different. And all the coaches have been raving about him doing well. You think this is the year for him?
You know, it depends on what you define as a breakout. I mean, I don't expect Geno Smith to go out there and start chucking the ball around like he's Aaron Rodgers all of a sudden.
Yeah.
But at some point, I mean, the only direction you can go is up. So it wouldn't surprise me to see Smith at least improve. And if he can just, he's got to cut down on the turnovers. When you're playing the kind of football the Jets are going to be playing, ball control, defense, trying to keep that score close, turnovers are the kiss of death even more than they usually are. So it's all going to be on Geno. Take care of the football. You've got the wide receivers. You're going to have the run game. You're going to have the defense. Just don't do anything stupid.
Yeah. Well, that's something about the Jets that they got to look forward to, and they're in the preseason, so we're going to find out from there. So from the Jets side, I want to go more now on the Giants side. You know, the Giants, they've had a lot of injuries on the offensive line. I mean, the list could go here. You got Eric Flowers, Weston Richburg, Prince Inukumar, cornerback. I mean, Jamal McClain, a linebacker. I mean, the Giants have a lot of injuries right now, but I want to go on the offensive side. Their offensive line right now hasn't exactly been healthy. So how effective can they be this year?
You know, that's a big concern for them right now is all the injuries on the offensive line. And it seems like these past couple seasons, the Giants have just been snake-bitten at the positions they could least. The injuries hit them where they're weakest. They won't hit them in a position where they have quite a bit of depth. And the offensive line injuries, you know, Eli Manning needs protection. And they need to be able to get a running game going. So it's still early enough that by the time week one rolls around, that line could look a lot healthier than it does right now. But you certainly don't like to hear all these nagging injuries cropping up at the beginning of camp, especially after they lost Will Beatty for who knows how long.
So how effective can Victor Cruz and Odell Beckham Jr. be on the field? Because, you know, last year Beckham Jr. had a breakout season as a rookie. He's right now, I think, and the wide receiver rank is number one in the league. So how effective can it be together?
You know, I think Beckham is in sort of a no-win situation individually from a statistical standpoint, because unless he goes out and puts up numbers that are just as otherworldly as what he did as a rookie, some people are going to look at it as a disappointment. And I don't necessarily think that's going to be the case. His numbers could drop, and he could still be every bit as effective from an NFL standpoint. It'll be interesting to see how close to Victor Cruz is, because as sports injuries go, it does not get a whole lot worse than a torn patellar tendon. So if he can come back at even 80% of what he was before the injury in 2015, that's going to help take some pressure off of Beckham. Otherwise, he's going to get Megatron. They're going to bracket him with coverage constantly.
So, you know, one of the pickups that the Giants had this offseason was Shane Vereen, and, you know, he's been a very good running back for the Patriots offensively for Tom Brady when he had dip and dump throws. How effective can he be in this West Coast offense now? Because, you know, Eli Manning had it for 1 year last year, and he specifically did well for the season, but it didn't, you know, didn't win any LF games. So how effective can Vereen be?
You know, I think Vereen's going to see quite a bit of action for the Giants. Third downs, catch the ball out of the backfield, essentially the same thing he did for the New England Patriots. Whereas the Jets' running back situation seems to be clearing up a little bit. If anything, the Giants' running back situation is only becoming that much more murky. Most people thought that Rashad Jennings had a pretty good leg up on Andre Williams, but if training camp has been any indication and who's been running with the ones, it might actually be Williams who has a little bit of an edge. Now, that could just be Tom Coughlin giving a young player a chance to make some strides in training camp because he knows what Rashad Jennings can do for him. But it's going to be very interesting to see how they split up the touches once the preseason games start and we get to see, even if it's just a little bit, of that first-team offense.
How good can this offense be, though? Because, you know, last year they were up there, but, you know, it was just pretty much one of the games where it didn't really count as much and they were out the playoffs. But, you know, a lot of people see this team as being maybe a top five, top ten offense. You see that happening?
I could see top ten, I think. In the second year of McAdoo's offense, and you could see Eli Manning become more and more comfortable in the offense as the first year in it went underway. Now he's had another full offseason. He's going to have a full training camp to learn the nuances of the offense that much more. If they can get that run game going, get a little offensive balance, I mean, you've got the talented, you've got Beckham. He's got the horses. Eli has the horses on offense now to do some damage. It's just going to be a matter of going out there and doing it, and he's another guy that has to cut down on it. Have to keep those turnovers down.
Okay, so going from the offensive side, now we get to the defensive side. You know, defensively, you know, this is a young group coming into the season. How will they look despite having Jason Pierre-Paul not playing? And, you know, there's been talk of him actually coming back, even though he lost a finger in July 4th with the fireworks. So how can they be this year, the secondary?
It's going to be interesting to see what they do defensively. You know, who, if any, one player steps up and fills Pierre-Paul's shoes. I know they'll be looking for more out of DeMontre Moore in the pass rush. They did draft a young defensive end out of UCLA, Odigizua, but he's more of a strong side run stuffer end type, I think, especially early in his career. So if the Giants are going to be able to generate a consistent early pass rush, at least until they get Pierre-Paul back, which nobody has any idea when that could be, I think it's going to have to be Moore that steps up for the front four. And the Jameel McClain injury, it's another one of those injuries that doesn't sound really serious, but it makes me a little nervous because the Giants don't have a lot of depth at the linebacker position, and they do not need to be losing guys before the season even starts.
Do you believe that this is a make or break for the Giants because, you know, they haven't made the playoffs in 3 years straight? Tom Coughlin had an extension, but it doesn't mean really anything because you see all these coaches getting fired left and right in regards to the extension. So do you believe this is a make or break season for them?
I believe it could be. I mean, we hear the whispers every year, especially these last couple of years with the Giants missing the playoffs, about Coughlin's age. It's just the Giants are in a really sticky position with Coughlin because he hasn't won two Super Bowls as the head coach. And you don't necessarily want that coach's departure to be a messy one. It would be a lot easier if, you know, after this season or after next season, Coughlin just decided to retire. And I don't think the Giants want to have to face that decision. And you look at the NFC East, this year, I mean, the Philadelphia Eagles have been completely remade.
Yeah.
The Dallas Cowboys lost to DeMarco Murray. I have questions about their ability to run the football nearly as effectively as they did last year. I don't expect Washington to be a good football team by any stretch of the imagination. So it's really not that hard to imagine the Giants winning the NFC East. And with it being New York, that's just going to ratchet up the pressure in the media.
All right, so we'll see what these both of these New York teams will do. You know, going now to fantasy football, you know, I know you've been a pretty much a fantasy football writer, am I correct?
Yep, I got some little experience doing that.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's one question I asked, my brother actually told me to ask you about picking running backs in the first round. You think it's safe to pick maybe Adrian Peterson or maybe a Marshawn Lynch in the first round?
There's certainly nothing wrong with taking the old, tried-and-true strategy going running back in the first round. I think you're seeing more and more people go away from it. as the NFL becomes more pass-happy and there are just so many elite receivers, you know, there's even Rob Gronkowski as a first-round consideration. Personally, I like to grab that elite running back in the first round if there's one of those bell cow guys like Peterson that I really trust, because there just aren't as many of those running backs as there are wide receivers that I can come back and get later on.
There is one wide receiver that's very interesting in this NFL draft, and that's Odell Beckham Jr. Would you pick him earlier or you pick him later?
You know, he's actually going a little early in drafts for my taste. He's not making it out of the first round in some leagues. And, yes, Odell Beckham was phenomenal for the Giants last year. His per-game production was off the charts, but it's only one season. And I think a lot of people are buying into that one season just a little bit too much for my taste.
What about quarterbacks? You know, you got Aaron Rodgers. You got, you know, Phil Rivers had a good year last year in the beginning, but then he dropped off a little bit. Of course, Andrew Luck's always been pretty much the number one quarterback to get picked out of the draft. You think any of those quarterbacks have the same year they had last year, or just get somebody else be out there, like a Russell Wilson maybe with Grant now and Marshawn Lynch and the team?
If you're going to go quarterback early, it's one of two guys, Aaron Rodgers or Andrew Luck. Once those guys go off the board, there's a group of maybe seven or eight guys that I all have that I have similar confidence in that starts out with guys like Drew Brees and Peyton Manning, who have lost some weapons on their respective teams, and runs all the way through a guy like Ben Roethlisberger, who you could get rounds and rounds later than a Manning or Brees, but who tied for the lead in passing yards in the NFL last year. So personally, me, I'm a wait-for-a-quarterback guy. Give me a Roethlisberger or a Matt Ryan or a Tony Romo a little bit later. That way, early, you can load up on running backs and wide receivers.
Okay. So, now, I guess one more question, and I'll let you go. These New York teams, they face each other in week 13, December. Will these teams be battling for a playoff spot by that time?
I will say the Giants will be, the Jets not so much, but I do think the Jets could surprise some people this year. I think they might be a little better than a lot of people are giving them credit for.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you for your time here. I appreciate that a lot. We'll be in contact, even for fantasy football, we'll be in contact.
Sounds good, anytime.
Yeah, that's right. We got Gary Davenport from Bleacher Report talking about the Jets, Giants, and a little bit of fantasy football. So I want to get a little bit more into the Giants before we get back into the Jets. You know, Giants this year, I've been saying it probably for the past 3 years that they need an offensive line. And, you know, there's been so many injuries. They've been having an injury bug on the offensive line. And that's just not going to cut it, especially when you have Eli Manning, who's been that type of player that throws it. Even though it's a West Coast offense and you have to have quick throws, you need an offensive line. Well, that you could say that with any quarterback in this league. If you don't have an offensive line, you can't do much. But specifically, if you have Eli Manning with an offensive line, he could be pretty much an elite quarterback, and I want to put him in that class, but he'll be a good quarterback with offensive line. And Shavarine, he's a good pickup for them. Gives him stability, gives him versatility, especially with catching the ball in the West Coast offense. But the real key for them, and this is how they won these Super Bowls, is their defense. You know, the defense is a young secondary. We don't know what Jason Pierre-Paul is going to be this year. You know, he lost a finger, which was probably one of the dumbest moves I've ever seen any player done. But, you know, we see other players done stupid stuff like that. But secondary is going to be the key for them. If they want to be successful this season, they want to take a chance of winning the NFC East around the Cowboys or the Eagles or Redskins, this is their chance. But the Giants have a lot of stuff to do, and this is a make or break for them because it's been 3 years straight since they didn't make the playoffs. No team, I believe, with a head coach missing that many years expected to be fired, even though he had a contract extension, Tom Coughlin. They're going to need to figure it out because this is a team where they have, on paper, two Super Bowl rings with Tom Coughlin and Eli Manning. And you got the offense of Victor Cruz and Odell Beckham Jr., who, by the way, will probably have another great year at Beckham because now the target's on him. All these cornerbacks want to shut him down, maybe even double coverage on him. But if Victor Cruz is as much as he can be, 80%, then I think they'll have an efficient season. But we'll talk about that more throughout the season. Now, I want to get more now into the Jets side. And, you know, Gary had a good point about Chris Ivory. And you have all these running backs right now. You have Bilal Powell, Chris Ivory, Stephen Ridley. You got Zach Stacy. You know, they have been efficient in camp right now. But Ivory's actually doing a pretty good year right now. And if I were the Jets, they have to start Ivory because he's been pretty much consistent for the past 2 years with them, regardless of what's happening with the offense with Geno Smith. And as long as Ivory's there, I believe they have a chance to do some noise. I know they're probably going to be running the ball a lot more than they should be. because they have all these weapons now with Brandon Marshall. You have Decker. You have Curley. You have Amaru. So, you know, they're going to run the ball more because they want to protect Smith from making turnovers. So I expect them to be pretty much a running offense. But the key factor, like he said before, is the quarterback. Now, I can name you 10 quarterbacks, or even more than that, that are better than Geno Smith. But what makes a good quarterback, in my opinion, comes down to three things. Consistency, not turning over the football, and making great decisions. Now, that could put that in the category as an elite quarterback as well, but elite quarterbacks do a lot more than that. They make playmaking abilities like Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Andrew Luck. But, you know, Smith, he's been inconsistent, that's one thing. He's been turnover prone. Out of all the quarterbacks, he's had the most turnovers in the league. And third and most importantly, he's just been making bad decisions left and right. And if you're a quarterback, especially in the New York market, who's constantly going to be pressured from the fans that he needs to play well and he's getting all his boos and stuff like that, you got to have those three qualities. You got to have consistency. You got to make smart decisions. You got to make, I would say, not elite quarterback decisions, but you got to make great decisions, especially when it comes to not stupid stuff like throwing into your offensive line or not reading the coverage right, throwing into double coverage, which I seen him do last year. Because last year, he had a play, I remember, against the Bears, Monday Night Football, where he threw it over double coverage. And that's just not going to happen. Like, you cannot throw bad decisions left and right, especially when you're a quarterback who's been a second round, who's not really making a lot of money right now. That's why they're just giving him one more chance. And I know Todd Bowles is one thing. He's a defensive coach. He's going to do whatever it takes to play, make sure his defense is good. But I know he's focusing on the offense as well. And that's why you have Chad Gailey. Chad Gailey is the key to pretty much Smith because they pretty much play a similar style. I know Gailey's been playing in the spread offense, kind of pistol offense, just like Smith was in college. And that's going to help Smith a lot. Now, Ryan Fitzpatrick doesn't really wow me when they picked him up because he was injured last year with the Texans. He's just coming back. Apparently, he's been pushing the ball lately in training camp, so he hasn't really been accurate with the ball. Bryce Petty is, I think, a year or two away from being a good quarterback in this league. That's why he was drafted in the fourth round. He's a raw type of talent, but he's going to be good. And that's why you have Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker coming back and Curley and Amaru. These guys are going to help Smith be a little bit more, I wouldn't say put less pressure on him because he didn't have weapons last year. And all these, and now there's no excuse for him. This is the year where he needs to play better. This is the year where he has to just play within himself and not try to do anything crazy because you have now a great defense with Revis and Kamari. And that's what's going to help this team elevate himself. So, you know, both of these New York teams, you're going to see them in the preseason, Jets on Thursday against the Lions. I think Giants are somewhere out this weekend as well. But it's only the first preseason. Don't panic if they suddenly play terrible in the first preseason game. I know a lot of teams have played terrible in the first preseason and couple of games, and they still did well in the regular season. It's just practice, but we'll see what happens. Now, coming up next, I'm taking a quick break here. We're going to be talking with Bart Hubbuch from New York Post on the NFL and the NFC and AFC. Not about a lot of things besides Jets and Giants. We'll talk about the other teams around the league, the moves that they made last year. So we'll take a quick break here on Sports Talk 1240 AM.
Sports Radio New York and AM 1240 WGBB are proud to announce the new Sports Talk 1240, along with the launch of a brand new website at sportstalk1240.com. Check out our new site for information about upcoming shows, as well as easy access to past shows, articles, our live studio webcam, and more. Of course, be sure to tune in to Sports Talk 1240 every Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m. on AM 1240 WGBB, or visit sportstalk1240.com for ways to listen to the live broadcast online or from your iPhone. We're excited about these new changes and hope you will be too.
So you're looking for a great club but don't want to go into Manhattan, or you'd like to find a new restaurant to check out, or you're buying a house here on Long Island and you'd like to find out about a certain area. Wouldn't it be nice if you could find out all the information in just one spot? Well, you can. LongIslandExchange.com. It's all you need to find out all about Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com for hotspots, classifieds, news, and more. LongIslandExchange.com is designed with only the Long Islander in mind. Get the best of Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com. Discover Long Island all over again at LongIslandExchange.com.
If you're trying to quit smoking, dipping, or chewing tobacco, you don't have to do it alone. Nicotine Anonymous is a 12-step program of recovery that meets regularly in your area. There are no dues or fees. The only requirement for membership is a desire to be free of nicotine. For information and meetings near you, call 877-TRY-NIC-A. That's 877-TRY-NICA. Or visit nicotine-anonymous.org. Let us share our experience, strength, and hope with you.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240. Check us out every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on AM 1240 WGBB. And visit us online at sportstalk1240.com.
Making simple changes in your everyday travel choices makes a big difference to New York's air quality. Trip chain, use mass transit, rideshare, bike, or walk. Visit cleanairny.org to learn more. Clean Air New York, breathe it in. A public service message brought to you by the New York State Department of Transportation.
And now, back to Sports Talk 1240.
Back here on Sports Talk 1240, Raymond Moore here having a solo show today. That's right, having a solo show today. And it's going well so far. Gary has some very informative information here. So let me just slow down a little bit here, a little bit breathing here. But now we got the NFL season here. Like I said before, this is a NFL preview today for pretty much an hour. But we have the NFC and the AFC. And, you know, we talked a little bit about the Jets and Giants. Now it's time to talk about the whole team, you know, whole organization, the whole NFL in general. Because there's so much we can do right here. And all right. And now, you know, the NFC, you know, it's been a lot of stuff happening in the NFC and NFL. You know, the Seahawks, they made an interesting move, an unexpected move, in my opinion. They had Jimmy Grant, got traded. And you had, of course, signed Marshawn Lynch, and you signed Russell Wilson back. And, you know, Russell Wilson was the key because, like we said, this is a quarterback-driven league. And there's going to be a lot of stuff happening for this league. But we got in right now Barb Hubbuch from New York Post and NFL columnist. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
That's Hubbuch.
Hubbuch. All right. That's Barb Hubbuch here from New York Post columnist, NFL columnist. You should check him out. Before we get into the questions about NFC and AFC, I actually read an article today about Jason Pierre-Paul trying to make a comeback. And can you tell me more exactly, is possibly going to happen for him actually making a comeback after he had his injury happening July 4th?
We'll see. I'm still a little skeptical right now just because, you know, me and you and everyone else, and including the Giants, have yet to even see the condition of his hand aside from that one picture of it all bandaged up. So, you know, the doctors I talk to are kind of skeptical that, you know, he could suffer an injury where so extreme that he needed his entire index finger amputated, and yet his thumb, you know, was kind of relatively damage-free, even though the thumb was just a few millimeters, you know, away from the index finger. So, you know, that doesn't really kind of, the story didn't kind of ring true to doctors and experts when it comes to this. So it remains to be seen, you know, just how much movement and how healthy that thumb is, because that's the key. Because, you know, if he doesn't have a thumb, you know, doctors, people that are around the sport say there's just no way he can't play without a thumb.
Yeah, apparently you can't play without a thumb, especially if you can't even catch the ball with that. That's pretty much important.
Right.
So let's talk about a little bit more about the NFC. I was just talking a little bit more. You know, teams made a lot of moves in the offseason and draft. Which team improved their chances of possibly making the playoffs besides the Seahawks, which probably is the road to the Super Bowl? You got to go to the Seahawks.
In the NFC, you know, I got to think that as crazy as some of the things that he seemed to be doing looked at the time, I think the Eagles did enough to get back to the playoffs this year.
Really?
You know, I was in their camp this year and last week, and I thought Bradford looked pretty good. You know, he's got to stay healthy, of course, but he's not going to have to take these 5- and 7-step drops in this Eagles offense like he did in St. Louis. And so I think he's got a chance to maybe stay healthy. And looked like he had some good, already had some good chemistry with that receiver core, and you know, he had DeMarco Murray, and you know, if they can solidify their defense a little bit, you know, I like the Eagles' chances.
How effective can the Eagles be this year? Because you know, Chip Kelly, first of all, has made so many you know, interesting moves, and a lot of criticism that he's had from writers and analysis and even players. How effective can it be this year that they could possibly even win the division?
Oh, I think they can. I mean, I think the division is pretty wide open just because I don't think you're going to see the Cowboys win 12 games this year. You know, they had DeMarco Murray and let him go. And you're talking about a guy that ran for, what, 1,800 yards last year and caught 50-something passes for another 400, 500 yards. So that's a pretty serious weapon, and that's a big weapon to lose. And so, you know, I think the division's going to be kind of wide open. You know, I think the team that I really wouldn't expect to do anything would be the Redskins, but I think it's going to be a dogfight between the Giants and the Eagles and the Cowboys.
Yeah, interesting, especially what the Giants are doing right now, and the Cowboys still going to be there. So we'll see what happens in the NFC East. Now, I wanted to switch more now into the West. You know, Seahawks are going to be there. I think the 49ers are going to take a step back this year. Could the Cardinals and Rams challenge the Seahawks for the division?
Well, I think the Cardinals definitely can with their defense, but that's going to be just a situation like last year. You know, if Carson Palmer can play the whole season, then I like the Cardinals' chances of really giving the Seahawks a run, just because you know they have as good a defense as the Seahawks do in a lot of respects. But you know, without Carson Palmer, you know, we saw last year, you know, they were pretty much hopeless. So. You know, I think it's going to come down to that for the Cardinals and the Rams. You know, do I like their team? I do in certain respects. I definitely like that defensive line. I mean, probably the best defensive line top to bottom in football. But you know, the offense is still a big question mark. And, you know, Nick Foles, can he stay healthy? And is he even that good to begin with? And most of all, you know, you got Jeff Fisher who. You know, aside for that 1 or 2 year stretch when the Titans were really good and went to the Super Bowl, probably the most mediocre coach in all of football. You know,
yeah.
Teams go 8-8 every year.
So, I guess you could say that maybe the Cardinals have the best chance if Carson Palmer gets healthy. Am I correct?
Yes, definitely. I don't think you're going to see the 49ers be a factor. I think they're going to take they took a big step back last year. I think they're going to take an even bigger step back this year. You know, their defense has been annihilated by. You know, injuries and off-the-field incidents and retirements. And, I mean, it's just completely decimated. And to me, you know, Harbaugh was kind of the glue there. And so I think without Harbaugh, I think it's just, you know, I think the 49ers are poised to really fall apart.
Yeah, that's terrible, especially with all that talent that they have on that team and all these players now losing left and right. It's a shame that 49ers are going to take a step back. Going now from the north side, you got the Packers, of course, will be there, Aaron Rodgers. Could the Vikings, with all the with Teddy Bridgewater, with Adrian Peterson, now with Mike Wallace and Torrey Smith, can they challenge the Packers for the NFC North?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I really like Teddy Bridgewater. I thought he was, you know, arguably the best rookie quarterback out there last year. And you know, it didn't really surprise me. I think the only thing that surprised me was that he was taken drafted so low, because you're talking about a guy that was, out of all the quarterbacks, was basically the most pro-ready. You know, had played in a pro-style offense at Louisville and looked like he, you know, is really calm under pressure. And, you know, and if Adrian Peterson can come back and be anything like he was, you know, before the suspension, before missing all last season, you know, I think they got some weapons for Bridgewater to throw to, and you know, they got some pieces on defense. So I really like the Vikings. I think they're a very intriguing team.
Are they more intriguing than the Bears, you know, with Jay Cutler in this whole situation now with a new coach? And the Lions, who, even though they made the playoffs last year, is not a team you can really trust in the division?
Yeah, no, the Bears don't really intrigue me. I think the Lions are a solid team. I think that's going to be a good division race. I really do. I think that's like the NFC East. I don't think you're going to see the Bears be a factor, but I think the other three teams are going to have a, you know, really duke it out.
All right, so, you know, the NFC South, you had the Panthers, Cam Newton winning, and the Panthers winning the division last year. You see it, possibly the Falcons now with a new head coach, a defensive coach, possibly elevating them to challenge for the division, or maybe even Drew Brees saying that he has, like, maybe 1 year left in here or 2 years to possibly win a division?
Well, I mean, I think that's going to be a really bad division again this year, you know. I think the, probably the Panthers, just almost by default, are probably going to be the team to beat because they've got Cam Newton and some other talented players, and you know, didn't even need a winning record, I don't think, last year to win that division. So I don't see it, and I didn't see those teams really improve that much. You know, you talk about the Falcons, you know, sure they hired a defensive coach, but, you know, he doesn't go out and play, and they didn't really seem to me to add very many pieces on defense to, and they were an atrocious defense team last year. So you know, I think they were going to be another team that's, you know, they got a good quarterback, but they're going to have to win games, you know, win shootouts to be successful. So, and that's a hard thing to do in the NFL.
Yeah,
with any consistency.
Yeah, it certainly is a hard thing. So now switching from the NFC, now we get to the AFC, and I want to start off with the West. You know, you got Peyton Manning, of course, back, possibly maybe for 1 year or two, depending on how effective he is with his arm. You know, the Chargers there, you got Phil Rivers. Chiefs, you got Alex Smith, and Raiders, you got, you know, pretty much a young quarterback. Can the Chiefs possibly challenge the Broncos for the division this year?
I think so. You know, they kept Justin Houston, and they got they added Jeremy Maclin, and you know, I thought he was one of the best, you know, receivers in football last year. I was a little surprised to see that he was, you know, just let him walk kind of easily, so easily in free agency. You know, and I think the Broncos are poised for a step back. You know, they had a coaching change, and, you know, nobody knows if Peyton Manning is going to be the Peyton Manning of old, or if he's going to look like an old Peyton Manning like he did at the end of last season. So,
yeah.
You know, that's probably the biggest question mark. You know, I think the Raiders are going to be improved because they have some really nice young players. And the Chargers are probably in the mix, you know, just because any team that has Phillip Rivers is going to be, you know, they're not going to be horrible. So, you know, I think that's another good division race. I don't think it's, in fact, I think it's maybe short-sighted to think it's just the Chiefs that could challenge the Broncos, the Chargers, and possibly the Raiders. You know, I think the Raiders might be a little bit of a surprise team this year.
You really think so? Ooh, it's
I do. I think Jack Del Rio, you know, he kind of brings kind of a tough mindset, and they have some young, talented players. You know, I think I keep seeing clips and reading about what Amari Cooper's doing there, and he looks like he could be another Odell Beckham, you know, just destroying people right off the bat.
All right, so, you know, whole picture is the AFC, you know, the South, North, East. You know, all these got to have division winners, but who do you pick from each of these AFC divisions of the South, North, and East? Who's going to win it?
I think you'll see the Patriots win the East again. Although I think the Dolphins probably give them maybe a little bit of run, especially if Brady ends up missing all four games.
Yeah.
I think you know, in the South is probably going to be the Colts again. Although you know, I think the Texans, if they can get their quarterback, if they can get any kind of consistent quarterback play, I think you might see the Texans make a little bit of a run this year. But to me, the Colts are still too deep in that division, and it's just basically a two-team division because I just don't see the Jaguars or the Titans doing anything this year. And then you have what, the North. The North is North is kind of a toss-up to me. You know, I don't really trust the Cincinnati Bengals to win with any kind of consistency.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't feel comfortable picking them. You know, the Ravens are always going to be in contention, and the Steelers. You know, if the Steelers defense can, kind of keep it together this year, and not completely fall apart because they do look thin in some spots. And then I think the Steelers. You know, the Steelers are going to be right in it. So to me, that's a huge toss-up division, and you know. I think at this stage, the AFC West is kind of a toss-up, too, you know, just because we don't know what Peyton Manning's going to look like.
Well, you don't know also what Phil Rivers is going to be, because Phil Rivers has been pretty much good or bad the past couple of years. And Alex Smith, we know what he is. We'll see what he does with the weapons this year. And Raiders can be a surprise, but it is kind of a toss-up.
Yeah.
So, you know, overall in the AFC and NFC, you have, you know, both of these conferences, they have pretty much great teams. But do you see the Seahawks possibly going back to the Super Bowl and maybe even the Colts making a run to the Super Bowl?
I don't see the Colts just because their defense is, to me, it's just not a, as we saw in the AFC Championship game last year, it's just not a Super Bowl defense. I don't think it's one that's built to last through the playoffs, you know, an entire playoff run. And as far as the Seahawks, you know, I think they always have to be in the mix just because of their defense. And, you know, adding Jimmy Graham to the mix on offense, you know, instantly is an upgrade and is a huge upgrade, you know, if he can stay healthy, you know, because that's just somebody that Russell Wilson, you know, gives him an outlet and somebody you can just throw the ball up to, you know, and probably going to catch it. So, you know, that's a huge, you know, that's a huge upgrade for the Seahawks considering how bad their receivers have been the last few years. And they still made back-to-back Super Bowls. So, you know, I think that was a big move, probably the biggest move in the offseason. And it really surprised me, too, that a team in their own conference would, with Super Bowl aspirations, would trade a player to the best team in their conference. On paper.
Yeah,
really surprising move by the Saints.
Yeah, it was a very surprising move, especially when you have probably pretty much a big three in the Seahawks, if you think about it, with Wilson, Lynch, and Graham.
Right.
So, think about from the AFC, who you got coming out of the AFC then, if you don't think the Colts can possibly make to the Super Bowl this year?
You know, I think the Patriots, you know, they have a lot of question marks around them. But, you know, don't ever count out a Bill Belichick team. And as we saw after Spygate, you know, he kind of uses these controversies and it brings the team together. And it's a good way for him to motivate that team. And so I wouldn't put the Patriots, you know, I wouldn't count out the Patriots, you know, especially if Brady can get this penalty reduced.
Well, thinking of that, and I guess this is the last question. You know, this Patriot scandal thing, the Delegate scandal with him and the 4-game suspension. Do you think it's going to be reduced, or it's going to stay pat?
My inclination, based on the fact that the judge is ordering them to settle, you know, practically telling them at gunpoint to settle, is I think it probably ends up being 2 games. You know. Because I think the sides will probably, you know, they will look at this judge and see how serious he is about them settling and realize that was probably the best that either side's going to get. And so, you know, my prediction is I think it comes down to he gets reduced to 2 games. They just cut it in half, you know, meet in the middle.
Well, certainly we'll see what happens with that decision. Thank you, Bart. You can also follow Bart on the New York Post and also on Twitter for all his NFL information stories. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Sure.
All right. Have
My
a good
pleasure.
Night. Yeah, have a good night. Right. So, you know, now we got all that going on. It's time for one of my, I guess I could make a new segment here. And if my friend operator here can cue the music here. Yeah, thank you very much. We got ourselves a little division winners for AFC and NFC. So, let's start here with the NFC East. You got the Giants, Cowboys, Eagles, and Redskins. You know, all these teams, they got something. They have four Redskins. You know what they're going to be this year. Eagles with Chip Kelly and all his interesting decisions that he's made in this team. Cowboys, they are what they are. They're still a good team. Giants have a lot of question marks. But to me, it comes with consistency. It comes with a team that looks like they're going to be in good shape. And I picked the Cowboys. And, you know, the Cowboys, I picked them because winning due to the complete team of all the other teams in the division, like I said before. So I expect them to possibly win it in a tight race against somebody. But even with the running back situation, still got a great offensive line. They got Tony Romo. Got Des Bryant back. So it's going to be a fight, but I think the Cowboys are going to win the division. Now you got from the NFC West, you got the Seahawks, 49ers, Cardinals, and Rams. And, you know, all these teams with Nick Foles with the Rams, Cardinals with Carson Palmer, 49ers got to take a step back, I believe so, with all these players they're missing. So by default, I give it to the Seahawks because of their defense and what I like to call the big three for the Seahawks, like I said before, Wilson, Graham, and Lynch. I mean, these guys are all playmakers. They all have a chip on their back from losing to the Patriots in the Super Bowl, so I expect them to probably win a division, maybe even get back to the Super Bowl or even the NFC Championship. Then you got the NFC North. This is a very interesting division, in my opinion, because the Vikings have made tremendous moves with getting Torrey Smith. They got Mike Wallace. Now they got Adrian Peterson back. The Packers are going to be the Packers with Rodgers, Lacy, and Nelson. Lions, you know, they're going to be there. They're a good team, but they lost Dominican Sue to the Dolphins, so that's going to be a big hit for them. You can't trust Cutler at all because Cutler just has been disappointing as a quarterback, to be honest, with all the talent that he has. So I'm still going to pick the Packers, though, only because of Aaron Rodgers. And remember, all these quarterbacks, he's been the most consistent quarterback, and is the best quarterback in the league with the offense that he's got, probably the best offense in the league. Even though you got Teddy Bridgewater with the pieces that he has, I still got the Packers. Vikings are going to battle with them, but at the end, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers probably are going to take the division. Now, the NFC South, probably the worst division in the league because you got the Saints, the Falcons, Buccaneers, and Panthers. Now, the Buccaneers, they drafted Jameis Winston, so they're going to have a little rough year with him with rookie season. Drew Brees, they lost Jimmy Graham. That's been a big piece for him. So, and defensively, they have been really well. So, I don't know what Brees is going to be this year. Falcons got a new coach. Possibly could challenge the Panthers, in my opinion, for the division. Only because they got Matt Ryan, and you got a defensive head coach who's going to make that defense a little bit more better. Just focuses on Matt Ryan's offense. As long as you have that, you probably go anywhere. So, but to be honest, I actually picked the Falcons to win in this division. I feel like because of the new regime with the organization, Ryan will help with the new defensive coach, and it surprised a lot of teams. You know, they got the pieces, Julio Jones. So we'll see what happens from there. Now, from the AFC, you got the AFC East. Let's start off with the Jets, Bills, Dolphins, and Patriots. Now, Patriots, they've been winning the division the past 12 years. The Dolphins will probably be there as well with their defense. As long as the Bills with Rex Ryan, with what he is, the offense that they have with McCoy, with Harvin, you know, the Bills are going to be there. But I believe the Jets are going to win this division. And I believe that because of the four games to Tom Brady. Even with reduced to two games, it's going to be a big hit for them. They're going to take a step back because they lost defensive pieces in general. So I believe the Jets have a chance here, because they have the best defense in the division. And as long as they run the football and protect Geno and not making bad mistakes, they have a chance to win this division in a long time. Now, let's get into the AFC North. You got the Steelers, Bengals, Ravens, and Browns. Now, this division is very interesting because the Steelers, you know, with Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, they lost for some games, but they won the division last year and they've done pretty well, especially with Roethlisberger throwing over 4,500 yards. Bengals, you can't really trust them because Dalton is Dalton with what he is. He's pretty much an average quarterback with a great cast, but he can't really do much in the playoffs. The Ravens, I believe they're going to win this division because of what they did in the postseason last year. You know, Flacco pretty much played lights out. They could have made it to the AFC Championship for some of the mistakes that he's done, but, you know, they got the offense better. They got young receivers. They still got a solid defense. It's going to be a battle between these four teams, but in the end, the Ravens will win it close. Now you got the AFC South, the Colts, Texans, Jaguars, and Titans. Now, to me, I picked the Colts only based on the offseason moves, their playoff expectations, and a little bit of luck, as I call Andrew Luck, because right now he's probably going to have a mission here to, especially in his fourth year, try to win the AFC Conference for home field advantage. Because with the pieces that they have, with Andre Johnson, Frank Gore, you still got T.Y. Hilton, you got a young tight end, Feener, I mean, this could go on offensively. It's going to be on their defense, but even with the Texans and what they have with J.J. Watt, Jaguars and Titans are still young. The Colts are going to win this AFC conference, and, you know, Titans and Jaguars are 2 years away from making it to even making a competitive division, but the Colts are going to probably win it. And now the AFC West, this is probably going to be, I wouldn't say a default. It could be a toss-up as well because we don't know what Peyton Manning is going to be this year. With the arm strength that he lost last year, we don't know what the charge is going to be of Phil Rivers, because he, you know, is going to be a good Phil Rivers or a bad Phil Rivers. It could go either way. Alex Smith with the Chiefs got the weapons, got some weapons this time. Actually got receivers. You know, the Raiders are still a young team, but I have to go with the Broncos only because of this. You know, Manning may not be the same but they will run the football more. And the Chiefs and Chargers can fight for the spot as well, as long as Phil Rivers plays well or Alex Smith throws, you know, actually throws some receivers. But it falls down to execution, and Broncos have been most executed team in the division. They won it. They might take a step back, but it's going to be close, and I see the Broncos winning the division. And that's all you have for all the division winners we have here of the AFC and the NFC. You know, this is my picks right here. You have your own picks as well, but, you know, we got a little bit of time here. I just wanted to say here about the NFL this year. You know, if you really think about it, the NFL season hasn't really ended because of all this Patriots scandal with Tom Brady and the deflated balls and this four-game suspension and this long case. It's pretty much been like almost a year-long season, even though it wasn't that a lot of football. You had OTAs, but you didn't have a lot of action. Today was the first time we had football action on NBC with the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Vikings. But you got to go into this. This is the first week for the preseason. You got the Jets, you got the Giants, you got other teams around the league. Now, for the fans that are the Jets fans, just not really do anything wrong when it comes to Smith making a bad mistake. Like, don't blame him if he does a bad mistake in the first preseason game because it's preseason. We get it. We want Smith to be well. We want a quarterback to not turn over the football like we have with Sanchez. We get that point. But just look at that first preseason game. Of course, pretty much the first quarter of what Smith does with the offense. Now, you know, hearing from these two writers, from Gary and Bart, they say that, well, actually Gary from Gary, but that they're going to run the football more. And I probably believe that because Ivory is pretty much a beast. I want to say he's top five, but, you know, he's top 10, top 15 running backs if he plays well with the offensive line. So, look into that in the first preseason game. And as far as the Giants is concerned, you know, Giants got a lot of question marks offensive line, and they got to figure that out as soon as possible because even with the West Coast offense, Eli Manning needs protection. And all these quarterbacks need protection. But it's going to fall down to Victor Cruz and Odell Beckham Jr. And I say that because they are what makes the offense go. They both are the engine for the team to be elevating themselves to another level, either top 10 or possibly even top 5 with the running backs that they acquire. But Eli Manning has to be Eli Manning. He can't be interception Eli Manning. He has to be clutch Manning. He needs to be a person that's shown everybody that those two Super Bowl rings weren't a fluke, that he earned them. And to be honest, even from a Jet fan perspective, he earned those rings. He made those throws. That was skill. That was not luck. Even though one of them could have possibly, you could say, would be left the first one, but he caught the ball and they won the game. And, you know, the Patriots and those two runs, they just didn't play well offensively, and Brady's weakness was the front four. But Manning needs to show up this season because this is a make or break for them. If Tom Coughlin and Manning and the coaching staff want to have one more year for themselves at least, they have to make the playoffs. Because let me tell you this, even though Coughlin has won Super Bowl rings for them, they need to either go in a new direction or they just need to start over, because you can't have a coach that hasn't made the playoffs for, if it's going to be the fourth straight year, and still be there. So this is going to be a make or break season for them. But I expect them to actually be fighting for the division, even though I picked the Cowboys. Possibly make the wild card. We'll see what happens. Now, going now into the NFC as a whole, the road to the Super Bowl goes to the Seahawks. Whether you like it or not, even the Packers will be there. But the Seahawks, they're the best team in the NFC. They have the best defense, even with the injuries that they have. They had the best three playmakers, in my opinion, in Wilson, Lynch, and Graham. And then you have a head coach, Pete Carroll, who's probably top five right now in the NFL and what he does. So, and you have Wilson, who's top five quarterback, or actually number six on the list. So you got to understand that the Seahawks are the team to be in the NFC. And the AFC, it's a little tricky, but I picked the Colts to win the AFC conference, even though I got the Ravens winning the division. But, you know, the Ravens could be there too. And they've been that type of team, like the Giants of the AFC, that if they get into the playoffs, anything could happen. No team wants to face them. They've been one of those teams that on the road they can win. But, you know, this might be the Colts' year. With all the weapons that they have, with Andrew Luck getting to his fourth year, possibly even elevating himself to in the MVP conversation, with all the weapons that he has, this is a chance for them to win the conference, possibly host a home game either against the Ravens or Patriots to go into the Super Bowl. And would it be interesting to see Luck and Wilson both drafted in that draft class with RG3 facing each other in the Super Bowl? Now, that's going to be an interesting Super Bowl. That could have been last year, but they lost bad against the Patriots. So we'll see what happens from there. Like I said before, you know, it's preseason. This is the first month. Enjoy yourselves because this is a football season, and this is what we're going to live for. So, you know, I want to thank my guests here. I want to thank Gary Davenport from Bleacher Report. You can follow him on his reports, you know, fantasy, a lot of informational stuff about the Jets and Giants. I want to thank Bart from New York Post about his opinion on the AFC and AFC. I want to thank you, listeners, for actually listening to my show today. You know, next week we have, I think, Unqua, I think, is hosting the show next week. I'm not sure yet, but I want to thank you all for listening. Have a great night. Enjoy the NFL game tonight and enjoy the NFL season in general. We'll talk to you soon.
Expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.